O Lord, loose us from our bondage by binding us to thee. Make us thy captives that we may be truly free. Amen. I'm happy to have leading in the chapel service this morning three people who are guests in my field education class today. Before I introduce them, let me mention another guest in another class. Dr. Hewitt has asked me to announce that in his 12 o'clock class today, Dr. Harry Hollis from the Christian Life Commission will be speaking on sexual ethics, and the class will be open for any of you who are free at that hour and would like to come and hear Dr. Hollis. Participating with me in chapel this morning, in the order in which they will take part in the program, are first of all R.A.L. Walker. Bud Walker is Director of Chaplaincy Services of the Division of Prisons of the North Carolina Department of Corrections. Bud is engaged in prison ministries as an employee of the state of North Carolina and as a minister of Jesus Christ. He will be reading our scripture. Following that, Burke Holland, who is Director of Chaplaincy Ministries for the North Carolina Baptist State Convention. Mr. Holland will come and lead us in prayer. And then following the anthem by the choir, the Reverend Marjorie Bailey of Chaplain Service of Virginia will bring our morning message. I knew the other two persons. I'd become acquainted with them before today. This is my first chance to become personally acquainted with Ms. Bailey, and it's been a delightful experience. She is an ordained Southern Baptist minister. She serves as chaplain not only of the Women's Correctional Center in Richmond, but of the Virginia State Penitentiary. And Bud Walker tells me that it is a unique thing indeed for a woman to be chaplain to a male correctional institution, especially a maximum security institution like the Virginia State Penitentiary. I'm delighted to have these three guests with me here this morning and to share them with you in this chapel service.
Our scripture lesson for the morning is in the 25th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 31st verse. Hear then the word of our Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me."
Let us pray. Holy and gracious and loving Father, we thank you that in these moments we can celebrate the gracious goodness that you have bestowed upon us, the eternal love that continually comes from you to us and is shown in so many ways. We thank you, Father, this morning for the gracious gift of love. We thank you for the gracious gift of caring and compassion. We thank you for the gracious gift of teaching and learning. And Father, as we pause these moments, we also want to say thank you for the leadership that was given to us by the presence of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the continued leadership through your Holy Spirit as it ministers to us daily. Bless the life of each person on this institution. For Father, we pray that thy will and the doing of thy will is in the working process in each life. We lift up to you in prayer this one whose ministry to incarcerated persons is so beautifully carried out in so many ways through the prison system of Virginia. We pray, Father, that at her feet in these moments we shall learn of your love and of your caring. Guide us to a continual giving forth of thy gracious love. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
You know, you can get eager. And I tell you, you jump before the gun goes off. I'm ready to go. And appreciate that. I feel right at home. A young man came to me this morning that was in the junior department at Bainbridge Church when I was a member there. A young lady that worked with us as a student in Richmond two summers ago. A friend of mine and a pastor of mine. And so I feel right at home here today. Now I have a prayer that I pray from time to time when I begin. That's not any great words to it, but I think it's appropriate. It says, "Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough." And that's the way I want to begin today. To be a chaplain in a correctional institution doesn't seem strange to me at all. In fact, 7 months ago when I got home from Europe, I'd had a month's vacation and everything looked beautiful. My boss called me on the phone and said, "Marge, have you read in the newspaper about what's happening at the penitentiary?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, I want to talk to you about it. And I thought that was nice that he wanted to consult with me about what was happening at the penitentiary. And I said, all right, when do you want to see me? He said, well, right now. And so I went to talk with him, and the bombshell dropped that he wanted a nice lady like me to go down to the state penitentiary, a maximum security institution, with 950 guys. Well, now, you know, that's a big one. And the only reason I went is I couldn't think of any reason not to went. And that's why I felt that I needed to be there. And my first day there, in 4 hours, there was a petition to get rid of the lady chaplain. Now, you've got to be doing something that in 4 hours somebody wants you gone. You know, if you're not doing anything, nobody cares. But in 4 hours to be gone? Now, I hadn't been there very long before a great big old dude came up to me, and he was the biggest fella I have ever seen, because I was out there on that yard by myself, and they looked mighty big then. He looked like he was about 6'6", and I looked up at him, and he looked down at me and said, lady, what are you doing here? And you know, I couldn't think. I didn't know what I was doing there. And I stumbled out some sort of answers. I always know why you're somewhere. I stumbled out some sort of answer while I was there. And then he asked me the second question, and he said, I want to know something else. He knew that I was all doing two jobs now, one at the woman's prison and there at the men's prison. He said, I want to know if you get more money for this. And I said, fella, there's not enough money in the whole United States to pay me to be the chaplain at the Virginia State Penitentiary. And I mean that. I'm there because of love and because of my Lord Jesus Christ, and not because I got any more money to go down there, because that's a trip. That's a trip. I'd like to talk to you just briefly about the ministry of a chaplain within an institution, and how in the world and what in the world are prisoners. There are three types of prisoners, as I understand them. The first type of prisoner is the one that is in prison, maybe to a wheelchair or to a cast or to something that hinders them from what they want to do. It might even be a habit. The second kind of prisoner would be the one that's literally in a jail or a prison. And I'd like to describe how I entered the prison each morning and how I entered it yesterday as I was there. I go up to a big gate, and I want you to know, chaplains have trouble. I went up there at 6 a.m., and if you know me, I don't get up very easily early in the morning. At 6 a.m. on Easter morning, on a beautiful day with a beautiful thought, and they wouldn't let me in. Now, you talking about a mad chaplain? I tell you, I created a scene out in front of that penitentiary, and I got in 15 minutes. I was in there. But to say to you that the second kind of prisoner is the one that actually goes in, and as I stand in front of the first gate, they check me out to see whether I'm who I say I am. Then they'll let me in that gate, and then I go and stand before another gate. There they will search the briefcase that I have. I've had them to take off my coat and go through the lining and the sleeves of my coat, and then I go through another gate, and I'm in a cage, and they can decide again whether I go in. Then I go through another gate, and then I am out into the prison complex. In Goochland, the women tell me they get up when they're told to get up. They go to the bathroom when they're told to go. They eat what they're told. They go to work where they're told. That they can do totally nothing on their own. Nothing. That everything is done for them. And then the third type of prisoner I want to remind you of today is the one when Paul said that he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And I think we need to think about that for just a moment when we consider ourselves prisoners of Christ. Go through what I told you that I went through to get into the prison, and I have to follow every rule and regulation, what the women say it is to them, and the men say the same thing. And remember then that we are totally controlled by Jesus if we are his prisoner. Now, how in the world can you minister behind those bars? How in the world can you minister to people that are incarcerated? You know, I don't find it any different than I do standing here before you, and you're going to say, hey, I'm not a prisoner. But, you know, every one of us in this room, including this chaplain, and I'm going to make a confession to you in just a minute, including this chaplain has done something or is doing something, as is my case, that will run you afoul of the law. I got out here this morning and I reached in my purse to find my billfold so I could buy something to eat. I was hungry. And do you know that my billfold is lying back in Richmond with my driver's license and everything? I'm driving illegally. Every one of us at one time or another, and especially me, I'm the sinner of sinners this morning, has done something that could be afoul of the law. And so I don't see that working in a prison much different than working anywhere else. There is a woman that came to Goochland at 60 years of age, a Jew. And as she came there into the prison, as I visited her week after week and day after day, she says to me and would say to you if she were standing here this morning that there are more people imprisoned that populate our church pews than populate our jails and prisons. She would also look at you right in your eyeballs and say something to you. At 60 years of age, she said to me and says to all of the people that she talks to, "Why didn't you tell me this story? Why did I have to wait till I got to prison to hear the story of Jesus Christ? Why didn't you tell me that story?" She's traveled the world over many, many times. There was a young man that sat in my office Tuesday a week ago that had served time all over the state of Virginia because he was such a rebellious young man that they would transfer him to camp, trying to help him, to rehabilitate him, I guess. I don't know what the word means, but they transferred him all over the state. And at one period of time, he went into his captain and said, "Captain, I've got to talk." And the captain said to him, "Young man, you can take your troubles and your problems and you can go somewhere else. I don't have time for you." They sent him down to the state penitentiary because he had psychological problems and then was not able to be seen by that department. And so he stumbled over to the chaplain. You know, the chaplain's always the last resort many times. And he came over there, and when he left, he was to leave Wednesday of last week, and Tuesday in my office said to me, "Chaplain, you are the only one that has ever taken time to treat me like a person and to listen to me and try to help me." And so what do chaplains do? They are there to meet the needs, the spiritual as well as the other needs, of inmates that are no different from you and I, and say to them, "We care about you. We care about you." There was a young man down at Southampton Correctional Center, and I worked down there too at one time, that was visited by two nice little old ladies that kept going to see him and kept going to see him and kept going to see him. And you know, he would literally throw everything they gave him back at them. Cakes, pies, it didn't make any difference. He threw it back. And why those two ladies kept going, I'll never know. He got behind the boards, as they call it, in lockup, and he again sent for the chaplain and said, "Chaplain, I ain't got nothing to read. How about letting me have a Bible?" Well, you know, at the last resort, you know, you'll even look at a Bible. So he looked at a Bible. And when he came out from behind those boards, he saw those little old ladies, and this was a statement he made to them. "You cared about me when I didn't care about myself." And so, you see, we have a ministry to people, whether they are inside or whether they are outside. We have this kind of ministry of meeting their needs and going into the prisons. It's more than just saying and reading scripture. We sing to the top of our lungs in our churches, "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I love to tell the story." And we sing all of those things and say all of those things, and we continue to sit on our church pews and do not go out and demonstrate in our life who our Lord Jesus Christ is. And so my word to you this morning is that prisoners are everywhere. Prisoners, there are more people that are not committed to jails and prisons that commit crimes than those that actually go. Therefore, and now hold on to your seat because you don't always like this statement. Therefore, you rub shoulders. Now, I don't know about this audience in here, but you rub shoulders with more people that are offenders of the law than I do that work in a prison every day of my life. And so we have responsibilities to prisoners. Who are the prisoners? Very simply, you and I. Very simply, and yet, if we sing the story, I love to tell the story, be sure you sing the words correctly. Is it I love to hear the story, or is it I love to tell the story? Let us pray. Eternal God, You demonstrated your love toward us through Jesus Christ, and we want to go and demonstrate that love through our lives. Lord, you have called us to be your people. Now, we don't always understand where it is we should go, and we don't always want to go, Lord. But give us the wisdom to know when you speak, and give us the courage to go after we have heard it. Lord, thank you for demonstrating to us your love, and may we now carry this love forth in our lives to all people, even into prison. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.